أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا صلوات اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Tonight we are commemorating the Eid al-Ghadir and the Eid which is considered by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam as the biggest of all the Eids. And that's the event which is proclamation of the, in the real sense, the walayat of Allah. There are two kinds of nisbat and relationship. One is a relationship that is what our philosophers say is a one-sided relationship, and the other one is a relationship that is from both the sides. So, walayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise the walayat of Allah, is not mutawafiqatul atraf. Instead, it's a relationship which is called mutakhalifatul atraf. So both sides of the relationship, both the parties which are included in this relation, are not standing on the same line, on the same parallel. Just like in the concept of muhabbat and love in Islam, which is mutawafiqatul atraf, all the parties which are engaged in the concept of muhabbat are standing in the same line and parallel. You're talking about the humans. Whereas the walayat is unlike the nisbat of muhabbat. Walayat is something which is only one-sided. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the awliyaullah are the only ones who have the tasallut and control and walayat and sarparasti and rule and governance over us. We don't have any rule or governance or tasallut over them. So it's a one-sided relationship in that sense. And as we all know that on the occasion of Ghadir, when Prophet had reached that place which was at the crossroads where the business caravans and the people who are returning back to various parts of the Islamic world, Yemen and Iraq and Sham, were departing into towards separate directions. When Prophet had reached that crossroads, that's where the ayat of Quran was revealed, Ya ayyuhar rasulu balligh, O the Messenger, convey, Ma unzila ilayka, what has been revealed to you, min rabbika, from your Lord, wa in lam taf'al, and if you don't, fama ballaghta risalatahu, you did not perform the job of risalat. That means the whole risalat is negated. You didn't do the risalat. Wallahu ya'simuka minan nas, Allah is going to protect you from the people. We clearly understand that this announcement of the Khilafat and Imamat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, the Khalifa after the Prophet, is a political announcement directly about the government of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Just like Prophet was the Mawla and ruler, similarly, without any difference, Imam Ali alayhi salam was the Mawla and the Khalifa and the Imam and the ruler and Imam al-Muslimin and Waliyul Amr. And whenever there is a political announcement, naturally there will be differences and conflicts, because some people are standing for their dunya and they have their own worldly interests which they think are at stake. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already provided a guarantee to the Prophet, Wallahu ya'simuka, Allah is going to protect you. So in any form of threats which are facing the Prophet, the guarantee is already there from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same is true even today. If you talk about the political Islam today, you are facing threats. Isn't that right? If you talk about a Islam which has nothing to do with zalimeen, you are sakit over the zulm. Nobody would bother to about you. Isn't that right? That Islam, even inside Israel, there are so many Muslims who are praying Salat al-Jum'ah and Salat al-Jama'at and speeches going on inside Israel. Isn't that right? What's the problem? Who is stopping? The government of Israel is not stopping the Muslim from Salat. There are so many masajid where Salat is going on. Isn't that right? What the people are afraid, what the Zionists, what the Zalim governments are afraid, is the al-Islam al-Siyasi, al-Islam al-Wala'i, Islam bi-Walayat al-Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam, al-Siyasat al-Alawiyya, Siyasat al-Adl. This is what people are afraid. If you talk about Siyasat al-Alawiyya, that's where the tahdeed and threats come in, and khatar and danger. If you practice an Islam which is nothing to do with the Siyasat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, where he says, Khairu Siyasat al-Adl, Sadaqa Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, the best of the politics is justice. That's what we mean. So if you have nothing to do with the political Islam, nobody cares about you. Nobody is going to bother and waste their time to care about you. You're not even a threat for them. Obviously, but still, the lives still there is no guarantee that you can be spared. We can see what happened in Bosnia. So many of the Muslims had similar names, similar culture, similar dresses, similar food, similar lifestyle. Some of them used to drink alcohol inside the mosque of Sarajevo by saying that it is halal in Islam to drink alcohol. Were they spared? So these are lessons. Ma aksar al-ibar, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, Nahj al-Balagha, Ma aksar al-ibar wa aqall al-i'tibar. There's so many ibrats in front of us, but they're very less
people taking ibrat and lesson out of it. So brothers and sisters, even if you become careless about Islam, they're not going to spare you. They're not going to spare you. So we in Islam are the religion who practice peace and promote peace. We don't promote any hate. We promote the peace towards, in this world. We hate the evil and shaitan and the enemies of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So this was a political announcement, and Allah is giving a guarantee to the Prophet. Wallahu ya'simuka. Allah is going to protect you min an-nas, from the people. So there was a threat from the people towards the Prophet. And for every political announcement and political activity, there's a threat. Now, obviously, the ikhtiyarat and authorities of the wali have been made very clear by the Prophet himself in his statement when he says, "Man awla an-nas bil mu'minina min anfusihim," who has more control over the people than the people over the mu'minin than the people have their own, than they have over their own selves. Who has more walayat and control over the believers, the mu'mineen, as compared to them, compared to themselves? They themselves, who has more power and control over them than they have over their own selves? And people said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam, Allah and His Messenger knows best. And that's where Prophet says that in Allah Mawlaya, Allah is my Mawla. That means Allah has more control over me than I have over my own self. That's the meaning. Mawla means awla. Mawla in Arabic means awla bit tasarruf. That means someone who has more walayat and more governance and more control and tasallut over you than you have over your own self. That's the meaning of Mawla. Whomsoever we consider to be Mawla, it means he's awla bit tasarruf. Simplest description. Nothing can be simple than that. So obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only Mawla, the only one who has walayat, and no one but him. Because Quran restricts the walayat in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying in the verse of Quran, Allah says, فَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْوَلِيِّ. And this is تَقْدِيمُ مَا حَقَّهُ التَّأْخِيرُ يُفِيدُ الْحَصْرُ. When this dhamir of huwa is brought in the beginning, it provides hasr, means exclusively the walayat and governance belongs to Allah only. So Allah is the only one who is wali, no one but him. If Allah himself gives his walayat to somebody, he will become the Mawla. If Allah does not give, nobody can fabricate the walayat through elections. People cannot gather and fabricate walayat through their 1,000 people or million people or 1 billion people or more, whatever. They cannot gather together and fabricate the right of rule. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran says, فَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْوَلِيِّ. So only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the wali. Now obviously, when Allah makes the Prophet as his wali, Prophet has the walayat. When Allah makes the waliyul amr as wali, ulil amr as the wali, they will have the walayat. إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. And this ayat is specific for the 12 imams and 12 imams and a'imma alayhi salatu wasalam, who are the only one having the walayat. So they are the ulul amr. It's not up to the people to decide. And they are the closest. Literally speaking, the word wali in Arabic is derived from waw and lam and ya. Waliya yali means qaruba, yaqrubu. So in Arabic we say kul mimma yalika, that means eat from what is close to you. Kul mimma yaqrubuka. Waliya yali means qaraba yaqrabu. So wali is the person who is called wali, is the person who is the qareeb. So a person is called wali, he has all those later on the powers of governance, the rights of rule and hukumat because of his qurb. Because he is the aqrab and closest towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The closest deserves to get the highest powers. So because the awliya of Allah are the closest, you know, servants towards Allah, they deserve to get the powers. So they are so close and so high that is beyond the reach of human mind and imagination to think about their azamat. Imam Ridha alayhi salam, when he was taken to Khurasan by Mamun al-Rashid la'anatullahi alayh, when he reached the Al-Masjid al-Jami' in the city of Marv, which is in Turkmenistan right now, which was the capital of Mamun. So in the Al-Masjid al-Jami' in that mosque of Marv, fa'adaru amr al-khilafati wal-walaya. So people started to discuss the subject of imamat and khilafat and walayat. And it's a very beautiful, very interesting narration. I wish we had time, and sometime we can discuss the whole hadith in front of you, inshallah. Sometime we can do that. Imam alayhi salam said, فَهَلْ يَقْدِرُونَ عَلَى مِثْلِهِ. Imam defines some of the attributes of an imam, sifat of the imam, and after mentioning those sifat and attributes, he says, فَهَلْ يَقْدِرُونَ عَلَى مِثْلِ هَذَا فَيَخْتَارُوهُ أَوْ يَكُونَ مُخْتَارُهُمْ بِهَذِهِ الصِّفَةِ فَيُقَدِّمُونَهُ. Do the people have the power to choose someone with these attributes? When we believe in the imam is the one who must fulfill all this long list of attributes, do the people have the power and strength to bring some human who can fulfill all these attributes? Or the person they have themselves chosen, can he prove these attributes so he can be brought forward over the current imam? So فَتَعْسَنْ لَهُمْ وَأَظَلَّ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. So Imam alayhi salam has said, وَهُوَ بِحَيْثُ النَّجْمِ مِنْ أَيْدِ الْمُتَنَاوِلِينَ وَوَصْفِ الْوَاصِفِينَ فَأَيْنَ الْإِخْتِيَارُ مِنْ هَذَا وَأَيْنَ الْعُقُولُ عَنْ هَذَا. The Imam is the person who is like a star from the towards the hands of those who are trying to reach. No human who can extend his hand can reach the star. وَهُوَ بِحَيْثُ النَّجْمِ مِنْ أَيْدِ الْمُتَنَاوِلِينَ وَوَصْفِ الْوَاصِفِينَ. An imam is like a star towards those who wants to describe his attributes. We cannot even describe completely all the in-depth attributes of the imam. Just like we cannot describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in depth. Because he is the mazhar of Allah. فَأَيْنَ الْإِخْتِيَارُ مِنْ هَذَا. How come they end up having ikhtiyar and authority to choose the imam? They cannot even describe somebody whom they are unable to even describe. How can they choose? أَوْ يَكُونَ أَيْنَ اخْتِيَارُ وَأَيْنَ الْعُقُولُ عَنْ هَذَا. And where does their imaginations and thoughts, can comprehend the azamat of the imam? In other words, so if we cannot even imagine the greatness of the imam. So remember that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said in his hadith that in Allah khalaqani min zatihi wa ana ghayru munfasilin anhu. Allah created me from his essence and I am not disconnected from Allah. And then he gives the dalil and evidence, is nuru shamsi ghayru munfasilin anha, because the sun ray is not disconnected from the sun. So those personalities who are in contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7 before the time was created and after the everything would end in this dunya, so they cannot be imagined. Their azmat is unmeasurable for human minds. Just like the human mind, which is makhluq, is impossible for the creature
to engulf, to have ihata and engulf the creator. That's logically impossible. So that's why the human mind cannot understand the essence of Allah, the zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, is kunhu zat is impossible to be understood by a human, because human minds are creatures and creature cannot engulf the creator. If the creature can engulf the creator, then the creature will no longer be a creature, it will be a creator. Similarly, the humans cannot engulf the Imam alayhi salam, who is the mazhar and reflection of every single name of Allah and every single attribute. Okay, now the destiny of those who deny, the next step. After we know that Imam is that high and he has all these sifat and attributes which are unfathomable, immeasurable for human mind, unreachable for our imaginations, then if we don't accept, what's the status? The status was made clear then and there. Remember Haris, this guy came to the Prophet, you know, and he asked Allah to send the azab, and the stone, one stone was enough. You know, for arrogant people, Allah adopts, you know, we find there's a pattern from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his pattern of punishments. He sends tiny things, small things. Small things are enough to rub the nose of the arrogance. Look at Fir'aun. Ana rabbukumul a'la. I am your greater lord. Isn't that right? That's what Fir'aun used to claim. Look at Namrud. You know? So Allah sent one mosquito into the nose of Namrud. That's enough. That's enough to rub the nose of the tyrants and arrogance and mustakbireen. For Fir'aun, one wave of the Nile is enough. One wave of the water is enough. Al-yawma nunajjika bi-badanika litakuna liman khalfaka ayatan. Today we are going to save you with your body, so you will be, you know, an ayat, a symbol for those after you. So Allah sent a stone for this guy who denied the walayat of Imam Ali in front of those 120,000 people gathered on the occasion of Ghadir of Qum, as we are celebrating the Eid of Ghadir, of the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So stone came and struck his head and came out from the bottom, and the guy died there. فَأَنزِلْ إِلَيْنَا حِجَارَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. He said to Allah to send down upon us a stone, and the same happened. So just like let me do this tashbih. Just like Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam used to forgive his enemies, but never forgave the enemies of Allah in his life. He was very serious against the enemies of Allah, and he used to forgive his own. There's a fine line, you know. He used to forgive his own enemies, but never forgave the enemies of Allah. Similarly, there is a tashbih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the enemies of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam very seriously in the same way. So Muslims got divided into 73 sects. Isn't that right? So Sataftariqu Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal says in his Musnad, that the Prophet has said that the nation of my brother Musa got divided into 71. That means 71 sects, in other words, and all of them are destroyed except one. The nation of my brother Isa got divided into 72, and all of them are halik, destroyed except one. And سَتَفْتَرِقُ أُمَّتِي عَلَىٰ سَلَاسَةٍ وَسَبْعِينَ فِرْقَةً. Soon my nation will be divided into 73. أَنَّاجِي مِنْهُمْ وَاحِدٌ. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal is narrating this narration in the Sunni book Musnad al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. So soon my nation will be divided into 73. أَنَّاجِي مِنْهُمْ وَاحِدٌ وَالْبَاقِي هَالِكٌ. So the one, the sect which will succeed is one, and the rest are devastated, destroyed, halik. So obviously, there's no controversy about the i'tibar and authenticity of this hadith. Sunnis, Shias, everyone accept this hadith is mu'tabar. Everybody says we are the successful sect. That's a different story, but nobody challenges the authenticity of the hadith. The hadith itself is mu'tabar. So in Islam, that's why we say that inside Islam there is no room for pluralism. So nobody can say, well, this is also okay, this is also okay, and that's also okay. No. The one who is okay is okay. Everyone else who is not on haq is not on haq. We cannot say everybody is on haq. Everybody cannot be on haq. Whenever there is an ikhtilaf, Imam Ali Islam has said in Nahj al-Balagha, مَخْتَلَفَتْ دَعْوَتَانْ إِلَّا كَانَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا ضَلَالًا. Whenever there are two conflicting claims, one of the two has to be dhalalat and gumrahi and misguidance. That's logic. When there are conflicting claims, if it's the night time and you all say, well, Maulana, it's night. And I say, no, it's a daytime. So both of us, when we have a conflicting claim, both of us cannot be on haq. Either you are on haq or I am on haq. Isn't that right? So it is possible that in conflicting claims, both are on batil. That's possible. But both can never be on haq. So we find that path which is on the haq has to be followed. So it's wajib on every human of conscience and aql and intellect to do the tahqeeq and research so that we make sure we are not one of those who are destroyed and we are part of that group which is going to succeed. So we Isna Ashari 12 Imamis are proud that we never stop our followers from doing tahqeeq and interacting with people of various faiths and various religions. We are unlike those mullahs who say, you know, don't talk to the Shias. You know, as soon as you find a Shia, don't talk to them. This statement is, you know, can only be said by somebody who's afraid, who is hollow from inside, who has no evidences, who knows that if we allow our community to interact with people of other faith, we may end up losing our own clients. In our case, we are not afraid. Allama Al-Hilli Rahmatullahi Alayh, one mujtahid of ours, has written one book having Kitabul Al-Fain. It's called Book of 2000. So in one book, one of the Shia mujtahids is compiling 2000 evidences about the walayat and imamat of Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhum as-salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
So we are not afraid. We never say to our community, don't interact with others. Quran has already said, فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ. Give glad tidings and basharat to my servants who listen to variety of statements and follow the best of it. So we are okay to interact with people and listen to variety of statements, but we will follow what is the best. So, and Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the Imams of the Sunnis, narrating this hadith, he says that Imam Ali alayhi salam was present there in that gathering when Prophet made that remark, you know, 73 sects and all of them are destroyed except one. And Imam Ali alayhi salam asked the Prophet that who is the one that is going to succeed, in other words. And Prophet replied, Anta وَشِيَعَتُكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ أَنْتَ وَشِيَعَتُكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. That means you and your true followers are the ones who are going to succeed. So, walayat, brothers and sisters, is the waman and guarantee for the hidayat. If we get disconnected from the walayat, there is no guarantee for our iman to be protected. All those centers and all those organizations and all those groups and all those people, all those communities, all those humans who have no ittisal with walayat,
must understand there is no guarantee for their hidayat,
because we get the hidayat through the walayat. Quran has already said, innama anta munzir wa likulli qawmin had. And likulli qawmin had, you are in other words, the warner giving inzar, warning. You are the warner, and for every nation there is a guide. And likulli qawmin had in the tafsir has been interpreted by the mufassirin that imamun ba'da imamin. That means one imam after the other. They are the hadi and guides for the community, for the ummah. So we need to get muttasil and connected with the walayat in order for us to make sure that we are guided. And we have hadith from Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam in Al-Kafi, where he says, "Inna Allaha la yastahyi." We are talking about the punishment of those, isn't it right? That's the discussion. Punishment of those who deny. So in this hadith, our fifth Imam alayhi salam says, "Inna Allaha la yastahyi an yu'azziba ummatan danat bi imamin laysa min Allah." إن الله لا يستحي أن يعذب أمة دانت بإمام ليس من الله وإن كانت في أعمالها برة تقية وإنه لا يستحي أن يعذب أمة دانت بإمام من الله وإن كانت في أعمالها ظالمة مسيئة. صدق الإمام الباقر عليه السلام. Certainly, he said the truth. And this signifies the importance of walayat in the eyes of Ahlul Bayt, in the eyes of Allah. Because Imam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no haya. He doesn't have any shyness from punishing a nation that follows an Imam who's a leader who's not appointed from Allah's behalf. Even though they may be, وَإِن كَانَتْ فِي أَعْمَالِهَا بَرَّةً تَقِيَّةً. Even though they may be in their actions good doers and muttaqi. But first things first, isn't that right? They are messing up with the most important priority and tarjih of Allah, which is the walayat of the imam. That they don't accept. They do prayers and they're fasting, they go for hajj, they give zakat or whatever. You name all those ibadat which are part of the concept of taqwa and birr. And then Imam al-Baqir says that innahu la yastahyi. Allah has sharm and haya. Allah is hesitant in punishing a nation. Innahu la yastahyi an yu'azziba ummatan danat bi imamin min Allah, who accept an imam, a leader from Allah. Wa in kanat fi a'maliha zalimatan musi'a. Although they may be doing dhulm and bad behavior in their own actions. So the most important thing, brothers and sisters, that we realize, obviously there is no license for a dhulm. We will be punished as well. If we do bad, we will be punished as well. That's what we have, barzakh and the grave and all those punishments and the mawaqif of qiyamah, the 50 stations of the qiyamah, that's all there. We agree, there is no license for dhulm. And we are not here to justify the wrongs of people. The wrong is a wrong. But the point to remember is that the most important thing in the eyes of Allah is whether you follow imamim min Allah, an imam which is appointed from Allah's behalf, or you're following an imam or leader in your life who is laysa min Allah, not appointed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's behalf. That's the most important point. Question number one that we need to ask ourselves, who is our wali? That's the question number one. Before the prayers and fasting and anything and everything else. Because this represents the Tawheed. Imam is the madhar of the Tawheed. And the walayat of the Imam is the madhar of the walayat of Rasulullah, which is the madhar of the walayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the celebration of Ghadir, as we are holding tonight, is the celebration of lovers of Adl. Anyone and everyone who loves justice. Yawm al-Ghadir is a celebration of those who have the courage to stand for justice, not the cowards who are silent in front of the tawagheet, sakit in front of the zulm of the zalimeen. This is not a celebration for them. Celebrating for what? For Imam Ali alayhi salam, who is tajassumul adl, he is the personification of the adl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Celebrating for him and not ready to oppose the zulm. So this is a celebration for those who love adl and justice, and those who have the courage to take a stand against the zulm of all the zalimeen. And alhamdulillah, we find in our tarikh al-mu'asir, in our contemporary history, Imam Khomeini ridwanullahi alayh, with the Islamic revolution, he connected the Islamic ummah with the walayat of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. With the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, that we have forgotten. So you find how many Muslims, yes, let's go back before 1979. How many Shias were doing the bara'at from mushrikeen on the Hajj? My question to you and to your damir, your conscience. How many Shias of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam going for Hajj were doing the tadahura for bara'at min al-mushrikeen, which is the hukm of Allah at the time of Hajj? Bara'atum min Allah wa rasulihi, adhanum min Allah wa rasulihi, yawm al-hajj al-akbar. Isn't that right? There's a hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to do the bara'at from mushrikeen. Imam Prophet gave the surah al-bara'at to Hazrat Abu Bakr. Isn't that right? Then Allah sent the wahi. Prophet took it back and gave it to Imam Ali alayhi salam. And he recited surah al-bara'at, which we call surah al-tawbah, on the face of mushrikeen at the occasion of Hajj. Isn't it right? This is the sunnah of Imam Ali alayhi salam, sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many people were doing that? And was Imam Khomeini who coming up and saying that without the bara'at from mushrikeen, our Hajj is not considered to be Hajj? This is how the ittisal is. I remember Ayatullah al-Uzma Bahjat rahmatullah alayh, he was saying in one of his speech, one of his statements, that the kuffar, what they want is to take out the ayat about the bara'at from mushrikeen out of Quran. So we end up practicing a Quran without any resistance against the zulm. That's exactly what they want. So there is no resistance against their bullying. So they want to take out the ayat of bara'at, Islam without the bara'at from mushrikeen. That's the Islam they want. That's the kind of Islam Muslims they want to promote. So, walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam on Ghadir was this was a celebration for those who love the adl, and a matter of yas and disappointment, total disappointment, complete disappointment for Ahlul Kufr wa Shirk wa Nifaq, for those who are doing the Kufr and Shirk and Nifaq. It was a day of total disappointment, because they had their eyes on the time when Prophet departs this dunya, and then we will be one, the ones who will grab the power, and we can do what we want to do. And Prophet is now announcing the walayat, not for theirs, but the walayat of Imam Ali, who is going to continue the risalat of Rasulullah with the same force without being the Rasul. So they got disappointed. They got disappointed. So walayat is the guarantee for the disappointment of kuffar and mushrikeen and munafiqeen. And any Muslim, any Shia who follows an Islam without walayat, the non-political Islam, is not disappointing the A'da of Ahlul Bayt, but actually giving them further room to happy and cherish. So we have hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, inna lillahi fi kulli وقت صلات يصليها هذا الخلق لعنة. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the time of every prayers that these people, that the people pray, in other words, every prayers that they pray, Allah sends la'nat on them. Because of the fact that they denied our haqq. Because they denied our haqq. So every time people stand up and pray without the walayat, they get more la'nat of Allah in their favor. One more la'nat coming in their way. Further getting away from the rahmat of Allah. La'nat in Islam means Allah is making the person mahroom from his rahmat. As soon as Allah keeps his rahmat away, the person is deprived from the ni'mat. Isn't it right? That's the worst thing that for a person that can happen. That we can become mahroom from the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the time of every prayers, inna lillahi fi waqti kulli salatin yusalliha hadha al-khalq la'natan li juhudihim haqqana wa takzeebihim iyana. That's the madmoon riwayah. Because they did the takzeeb and juhud, denying of our haqq. So it is important that we don't sell our values for the sake of dunya. We don't sell our values for the sake of dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dunya is so condemned that Allah did not consider this dunya to be neither sufficient as a punishment for the mujrimeen, nor sufficient as a ni'mat for the mu'mineen. Something which is not even sufficient to be called a true punishment, nor is sufficient to be called a ni'mat for the mu'mineen. That's the status of this dunya. It's not a punishment. It cannot be a punishment. Punishments deserve much more than this. And it cannot be a ni'mat. Mu'min deserves much more than this. So if a person considers this dunya to be a price for his selling of his iman and faith, then basically he did not understand the risalat of Rasulullah at all. So we need to be shakir, do shukr, lisanan and amalan, that means orally and practically doing the shukr of the walayat, by disassociating ourselves from the enemies. If people of Kufa were disassociated, tomorrow is also the day of the istishhad of the sons of Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil, salamullahi alayhima, Muhammad and Ibrahim, salamullahi alayhima, the sons of Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil. Isn't it right? So if the people of Kufa in those days were not selling their iman, we can't find these children of Ahlul Bayt in the jail for 1 year. They stayed in the jail for one full year. And then the time arrived that they said, okay, which I'm paraphrasing these narrations in my own words. They said, okay, let's go and talk to this guard of the prison. And they came and talked to this guard. He was an old man, old Shia man. Shia. Can you imagine a Shia prisoning Shia children of Ahlul Bayt? How far we can go in our jahl or our fisk or zulm because of getting a disconnect from the walayat, or ignoring our duty, or because of our jahl. So they said, okay, let's go and talk to the guard of the prison. And these two young kids, they came forward and they said to the guard of the prison, do you know Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, obviously I know him, he is my Rasul, I am a Muslim. He said, do you know Ali alayhi salam? He said, yeah, he is my first imam. Why don't I know him? He said, what about Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba? Yeah, he's my second imam. Do you know Imam Hussein? He said, yeah, he's my mawla, he's my imam. Can you imagine how far the Tahut can use the people? And people are getting used because of their jahl. So they said, do you know Muslim ibn Aqil? He said, yeah, I know him. He was killed in ghurbat, in loneliness. They said, we are the kids of Muslim ibn Aqil. He said, why didn't you tell me first? If 1 year has passed by and they were inside the jail. And he said that wait for the night time to arrive and I will open the door of the jail for you so you run away in the night time so nobody sees. He gave some food to them and he did open the gate in the night time. And these kids of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they went out. Obviously, in the city of Kufa, they are strangers. They don't know the directions. They don't know where to go. They can go to as far, isn't it right? They don't know where to go. They have no directions. And they got tired, young kids, small kids. They got tired. They cannot walk for long. So they rested next to the river. And they went on the top of a tree because they were afraid somebody can catch them. They climbed up a tree next to the river. And this female servant of the wife of Haris, La'natullahi alayh, Ibn Ash'as Haris, who was the Qatil, his wife was a Shia. She had this female servant and she came to get water from the river and she found the reflection of two kids in the water. Then she looked up and they found there are two kids there, sitting on the tree. And she asked them, who are you? And the kids were terrified. They said, if we tell you, will you give protection to us? She said, yeah, you are protected. They said, we are the kids of Muslim ibn Aqil. She said, don't worry, I know somebody, my master, this woman, for whom I am a slave, this woman is a Shia. I will take you to her. Don't worry. So she took them to this, the wife of Ash'as. She was a Shia. She made them, these kids, they respected them and made them relax in a bedroom and sleep and comforted them for the sake of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And the kids were sleeping. All of a sudden, the Haris guy, he came into his house. And the kids woke up. Both of them saw similar dreams, and in their dream they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Prophet was talking to Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil, saying that you came, but you left your kids behind. They're going to join, tomorrow. So they will be my guests in the paradise tomorrow. In other words. So this Haris guy came in and he discovered that these are the kids that Ibn Ziyad had put a prize, a big award. Whoever discovers the kids of Muslim ibn Aqil will get huge award. So Haris was so happy, he's going to get award from Ibn Ziyad. So he tied up the hands of the kids and kept them in the bedroom. This is about dunya. This is how the people sell their iman. So he finds that the next morning he took the kids to the river to kill them and he asked his son to kill them. His son refused. I don't want to get the blood of Ahlul Bayt on my hands. And he asked his servant to kill them and servant drops himself into the river to run away from his master so that he don't end up killing the kids of Ahlul Bayt. The servant drops in the water. And finally, he tries to kill the kids himself. How a shakawat of a person can take him to how far? and he goes to kill, and now obviously he tries to kill the younger one first, and the younger one and the elder one says, no, don't kill him first, kill me. When he tries to go to kill the elder one first, the elder one says, no, don't kill him. The younger one says, don't kill him, kill me first. I can't see my elder brother getting killed in front of me without his head. I can't see his janaza without the head. So he comes back to the younger one, and the elder one says the same thing, and say, I can't see my younger brother without the head, so don't kill him first, kill me. Small kids, little kids. And finally we find the elder brother says that when we get out of Medina, my mom gave my younger brother to me. So I was supposed to take care of my younger brother. So don't kill him in front of me. My mom gave him to me to take care of him. This is
how far the love of dunya can take us. Also, brothers and sisters, tonight is the day of the shahadat of the Mumassil al-Imam, Hujjat al-Islam al-Muslimin al-Allama, Shaheed Arif Hussain al-Husseini, Rahmatullah alayh. The leader of the Shias of Pakistan and the Mumassil and Namayanda of Imam Khomeini in Pakistan, who was killed. And all of the Shuhada have a great haq on our neck. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us to keep this ni'mat of walayat with us throughout our life till the last breath of our life, so we can also join the caravan of the shuhada and we can become mukarram in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam tomorrow. So let's read this dua. الحمد لله الذي أكرمنا بهذا اليوم وجعلنا من الموفين بعهده إلينا وميثاقه الذي وثقنا به من ولايته ولاة أمره والقوام بقسطه ولم يجعلنا من الجاحدين والمكذبين بيوم الدين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين وانصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.